Good morning and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, October 16, 2008. It is now about 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. I hope we have everything set up. We're kind of rushed this morning. We do have five lines open this morning. Our call-in number is 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Please call in. I know it's kind of early. We have a 30-minute broadcast this morning. We'd like to hear from someone. So please do call in. During our live broadcast, you can also send email at any time to comments at libertytalkradio.com. Or if you're listening to an archive, you can call in your questions or make your comments to area code 918-919-0101. We'll either respond to your questions immediately, call you back, or we'll respond over the air. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com. Online.com, and that too is a numeric two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. And folks, this could not be more timely. We are in a financial crisis. And forget about what you hear on television, whether it be NBC, the major networks, CBS, whatever, or even CNBC News, which I find quite annoying most of the time. You will not learn much there. You'll just be confused or you'll be consoled. And you don't want that right now. You need to take action. Andy Sutton takes a very interesting perspective, a macroeconomic perspective, and he's an economist, and he really can make you understand, educate you as to what is going on so you can prepare yourself. And these are very, very, very hard times. Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to get much better soon. I would also like to encourage our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Again, our telephone number, we have five lines open. Usually on a Thursday morning, we only get one call if we're lucky. And it's 646-652-4620. I have an apology to make, number one. First, what I did last week is I titled the broadcast, Feed the Pig, Starve the Beast. We talked for about a half hour. We had a caller. It was very interesting. However, I never referenced the title, and I should reference the title during my broadcast. And what I meant by feed the pig, I mean feed the piggy bank. You know, put your money away, but put your money away judiciously. Today, putting your money away is not really putting your money away in the bank necessarily. You should have cash on hand, but the best way to have cash on hand today, especially with the extremely low interest rates that you're receiving, which doesn't warrant the risk of having it someplace else, is to have a certain amount of cash on hand. Yeah, Federal Reserve notes, fiat currency, on hand, in case there is an interruption. If there is a problem with our money supply, you have it immediately, you can spend it immediately, you can take action immediately, you do not have to stand on line to the bank. Now, I don't have nearly enough at home, but I'm going to start increasing my reserves just to have a little bit of money at home and not have it all in the savings or a CD. That may not be, now it'll be safe in the long run, but you may not have access to it. Don't empty all your bank accounts out, you know, put it smartly. Wherever you think it's smart, put it there, okay? All right. And that's what I mean by feed the pig. What we do today, and we have that ad on TV, I think you've seen that, where a person goes into a store and wants to buy something frivolous, you know, a gigantic widescreen TV so they can watch a football game, and the guy is all excited about buying it, and he's hesitant, and the guy convinces him, and then all of a sudden, you know, he says, okay, I'll take it, and the guy who's dressed like a pig, you know, he has a pig face on, you know, he slaps his hand, he says, no, you know, and the guy puts the credit card back, he says, nah, I guess I can do without it. We need to do more of that. We need to save our money, but we need to spend it judiciously, and we haven't been doing that. We've been spending our money on junk. Most of the stuff we buy is junk. Look around your house. Look around your house. Really, I challenge you to do this. Look around your house. Take any drawer. Empty the drawer. Put everything on the floor and say, how much, what of these items do I really need? And you'd be surprised that in many cases, there's not one item that you really need in that drawer. Just things that you bought because you'd like to have. And now your whole house is cluttered, as the late George Carlin used to say, it's my stuff. It's my stuff. Don't touch my stuff, you know. We never use it. It's junk, but it's my stuff. And we've become a nation of my stuff. I'm reminded of a book by Jared Diamond. He wrote Guns, Germs, and Steel. Fascinating book. I recommend it highly to everyone. He was doing the research, I think, in French New Guinea, I think that was one of those islands out near in Indonesia. And he wound up on the shores of New Guinea, and he was met by a native to help him. And all he had were a couple of suitcases with him. In fact, the boat left him offshore, and then they had a motorboat or something, you know, bring him in, a small motorboat. And they unloaded the cargo, the suitcases, and they were too large, you know, like these trunks, two trunks. And he had another thing, and didn't think he had much at all. And the native asked him, he said, why you white people have so much cargo? And he didn't think much of the question. He looked at the native and he said, well, that's because, and he couldn't answer the question. That put him on a nearly lifelong journey to try to answer that question. Why do you white folks have so much cargo? And we must ask ourselves now, why do we Americans have so much cargo? And when I say cargo, I mean everything that we own. We may not have one car, we'll have two cars. We really don't need two cars, but it's a little bit convenient, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, okay? And the book is, it's almost a 1,000-page book, and it goes through, and he had to go back in history as to how man evolved and how people acquire things. Fascinating books, Guns, Germs, and Steel. I recommend it. He wrote it several years ago. And he has a sequel now, and I'm really anxious to read that one when I finish some of the other stuff that I'm reading. But my point being is that we have so much stuff because we don't feed the pig. And then when there's a crisis, what happens? Bingo. You know, we look towards the federal government, right? And the federal government sort of assists us, and we're not able to starve the beast. And starving the beast is starving the federal government. That's a real problem, folks. It's a hell of a problem. Because we don't save, and then we, as a result, become dependent on the federal government. We see this. I mean, the debates last night, I watched about 20 minutes of it. I'll be honest with you, could not take any more. I said, this is a waste of time. I wasn't feeling very well. I have a tremendous backache, and I don't know where I got this stupid thing from, but I've been doing exercises or whatever, but it's bothering me right now. But my point being is that I just stood there, and together with my backache and my head start hurting, listening to this garbage from these guys who are totally unqualified to run our government. Talk about all the programs they have, because we need to feed the beast. No, we need to feed the pig, and we need to starve the beast. And that's one thing they don't tell us. And at least in the first 20 or 25 minutes that I was listening to the debates, I didn't hear a thing about human rights, individual rights, inalienable rights, liberty, constitution, freedom. I mean, you know, torture, you know, that's a good subject. You know, none of the things, now they talked about the economy, but it's all wrapped up into one. In fact, I'll be hosting this Monday night, a meeting being held at the library, and they're going to show a DVD called Money as Debt. And what it does, it explains the Federal Reserve. And they just asked me, because I'm an internet radio talk show host, and they thought it would be kind of neat, if I would sort of moderate, host it in a way, or semi-host it, and then moderate a discussion afterwards. And not that I'm a financial expert, but I know something about it. They just asked me to be a coordinator, and I'm pleased to do so. I think people are going to realize that their money is debt, and that the money that they don't save is debt. Isn't it amazing? If you don't save money, you usually wind up in debt. If you save your money, you're saving debt. I mean, it's a remarkable situation that we're in today. Anyway, we need to feed the pig, and we need to starve the beast. And no one is talking about that. No one. But they are talking about giving us tax breaks. Tax breaks, tax breaks. I'm going to scream, you know, $11 trillion in debt, and we're going to get tax breaks? Now, let me be honest with you. I mean, I'm for all for tax breaks. I mean, I think we're highly overtaxed now, both corporately and in the corporate arena and personally. But what we've got to do is we have to starve the beast first, and that starts with the military. They don't do that. They say, oh, no, we cannot starve the military because we need to support our troops. Now, who's going to deny the troops in the field, you know, who are, quote, defending the country, you know, but really trying to protect themselves, you know, from getting shot and killed, saying, sorry, no more bullets, Bobby, you know, go out there and hand wrestle them. You know, so that leads me into this. Here are some of the words that I don't want to hear anymore. You know, support your troops. I don't want to hear that anymore because that's not the point. Now, of course, I support our troops, Damon. I mean, do anything in the world for them. You know, but putting them in harm's way, I won't do. Now, how that's not supporting our troops is beyond me. I like the words in the financial arena. I love the words. We have a resilient economy. What the heck does that mean? What does resilient economy mean? There is no such thing as an economy. An economy is you and me, every decision we make. If I decide this morning, after my radio broadcast, to sit in my living room by a window where I can get some light and read a book, and do nothing. In other words, consume nothing. Turn everything off in my house and consume nothing. Right? I am exercising my right within the economy. I am the economy. What am I doing? I'm economizing. I'm not using up any electricity, well, to speak of. I'm not using any gasoline. I'm not in my car. I'm not in a store buying stuff. Oh, by the way, this is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. We have 5 open lines this morning. If you are alive and well, and you are awake enough to dial a telephone, it's 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. You can send me email anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. But I am economizing. When I was young, there in schools, there were every school, every high school, had a class in home economics. Now, when I was a little kid, I never understood what home economics meant. It sounded like such a big word, and I thought it was this complicated course, you know, like scientific course. I remember this when I was a little kid. And I remember my cousin Susan, who recently passed away, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gal. I mean, absolutely an angel on earth. Her and her husband passed away about the same time, unfortunately. I will miss them dearly, you know. But I recall her taking a course. She was a little 3 years older than I was or so, and she was taking 4 years older, I guess. She was taking a course in home economics. I was still in grade school, and she just went to high school. And I remember passing by a school one time. I said, oh, I bet you my cousin Susan now is taking her course in home economics. And I really didn't know what economics meant. But you know what? We still don't know what economics means. But what they taught in that school is how you are the economy, how you arrange things, how you run a household. You know, people who say that, oh, I'm just a housewife, that's degrading yourself. Most important job in the world, being a housewife. You're a financial manager, you're an inventory manager, you do everything. You do much more as a housewife, by the way, than you ever do in business. And plus, whoever stays home, whether housewife or house husband, you're also raising children, the most important job that you'll ever have in the world. And how do we compare that, for example, to people sitting behind desks making decisions about who gets whatever memo in this stupid corporation? I mean, which one is more important? Which one is making true economic decisions? Well, the house husband or the housewife is. And it's usually the housewife. And they do a marvelous job. Now, those that don't do a marvelous job wind up in bankruptcy. You know, and we don't understand that. We need, like I said last week's broadcast, feed the pig. And this is what home economics used to teach you, how to feed the pig and how to starve the beast. They didn't say that. I mean, those terms weren't even thought of at that time. That was not the concept at the time. But we need those basic concepts again. Do they teach home economics? Well, very few schools do. They're starting to bring it back again. Do they teach civics and constitution? No. And they're not bringing that back, I can guarantee you, because if they do, there'll be a revolution in the schools. Kids will say, hey, wait a minute. This makes no sense to us. This is not what we're doing. All right. I ranted and raved a little bit. A couple other words that I mentioned, words that I didn't like. Resilient economy, which is my favorite. Okay. You know, they talk about timely regulation. You know, how about when they talk about the banks, they talk about illiquid. What a phony bunch of bums, illiquid. They're talking insolvent. You know, if I go to a store and I can't pay my bill, I don't say, well, Mr. Grocery Man, I'm fine. I'm just a little illiquid at the time. He'll say, you bum, you're broke. You have no money. Get the heck out of my store. If I said illiquid, he'd punch me in the nose. What kind of stupid statement is that? Illiquid. They're broke. The banks are broke. They're insolvent. They're bankrupt. All of them. You know, I tell you, I think the only reason why I have this radio program is so that I can bring my blood pressure up to unheard of heights. Without it, geez, I would be fine. I'd live much longer, I think. And I'd love when they say, you know, Americans have faced problems such as this before and we'll overcome them again. I feel like Nixon. You know, what kind of stupid statement is that? First of all, we've never had a situation like this before. We've never put ourselves in a situation like this before. We've never taken so much time to put ourselves in this position before. And now we say we've been there before? We've never been there before. We've never had a fiat currency. We've never had $11 trillion in debt. We haven't had a populace that's highly in debt. We haven't had illiquid banks. We haven't had a current accounts deficit. We haven't had a budget deficit all at once. And plus, we have a welfare state and an empire running at the same time. Folks, that's why it's going to collapse. I just summarized it for you. I just summarized the whole world for you. Right there. The five-step program on why we're going to go belly up. And it's going to hurt. And it's going to hurt innocent people only because they never took home economics. And they never understood and they never took civics because they don't know what our Constitution says. And they believe that our president is our commander-in-chief, which he is not. He is only the commander-in-chief at times of war when someone attacks us. No one attacks us. 9/11, there was criminals, a few people. That's it. Afghanistan did not attack us. Iraq did not attack us. And then the last one, and this is going to be very controversial, is, but we're the most productive people in the world. Now, wait a minute. How do we know that? Do you know, if you go to India and you see people with picks and shovels and hammers and whatever, and in Bangladesh they do the same thing, disassembling old ships. These people work 10, 12 hours a day, hard labor all day long, no breaks, no nothing. They're lucky to get lunch and something to eat at all. Now, they may not be productive because they do not have the tools of productivity, but they surely work harder than we do because no one in the United States would do that. You say, how do I know that? Look at our immigration. We won't even cut our own lawns anymore. So please, we may be productive by virtue of our industry, by virtue of our technology. We're not more productive because we work harder than everybody else around the world. Oh, come on, spare me. I'm not saying that we're lazy bums or anything like that. But, you know, don't say things that are meaningless. and especially that give us a false sense of security. Folks, it's 10 minutes to the hour. We got 10 minutes to go. This is Joe Cristiano. I am your host. This is Liberty Talk Radio. I'd love for someone to call in and disagree with me. The number is 646-652-4620. If you're listening to an archive, the number is area code 918-919-0101. You can leave a message there. I may not be, you know, at the computer at the time, because that is a Skype telephone number, but you leave a message and I will get back to you, or I will respond to you over the air. Now, I want to talk just 10 minutes about democracy versus liberty. Oh, before I do that, I do have an email that I want to read, and it says, Joe, this is from Bryce from Kansas, and he says, sorry if I'm emailing you too much. You can never email me too much. Enough of the radio program. Now, I have some friends that email me too much with garbage, but you guys always send me stuff that makes me think, and I love it, so you can never do that. He says, but this made me livid. The question was asked to the candidates that addressed the selection of Supreme Court justices. Neither of them even mentioned the fact that a Supreme Court justice should have at least some grasp of the Constitution. That's why they never mentioned the Constitution. When they ask the question, you know, what's important? What should a president know? They never say an understanding of the Constitution. They'll say, oh, he's got to be resilient, and he's got to be have to have foresight, and he's got to be, you know, all this stupid stuff that no one can understand. Now, understanding the Constitution, I can appreciate that. If someone says, do you know what the Constitution says? No. I know they have no appreciation of the Constitution. If someone says, yes, I do. I've studied the Constitution. I know it in and out. You have any questions? That's concrete. We're never concrete. Like the word resilient. Right? Let's see. They were more concerned on whether a justice supported Roe versus Wade. Absolutely. Bryce, right on. Isn't that what they are there to do? Let me turn the page. Excuse me, my thumb is not working. Uphold the Constitution? Ridiculous. Just thought I'd mention that in case you missed out on the excitement. Thank you, Bryce. I love it. Thank you for your email. And just keep the emails coming like that. I appreciate that very much. Okay, democracy versus liberty. This is another stupid thing. This is the title of our broadcast, and I wanted to bring it up before I forget. But it's another stupid thing that we do. What do we say? Well, we're trying to instill democracy, preserve our democracy, not only at home, but we want to preserve, instill democracy around the world. Democracy is not the point, folks. Democracy means nothing. In fact, we're not a democracy. We use a democratic process to maintain a republic, and we have representatives representing us. Of course, we don't have a democracy, because democracy means that anytime something comes up, the whole population's got to vote on it. It's very unwieldy. And, you know, democracies may not be very palatable, and they may not be desirable. Just think, let's go back to any particular issues. Let's take women's suffrage, the right to vote. Now, of course, most of the people were men. You know, I think the large majority of people were men. And the only people that were allowed to vote were men, right? So in a democracy, right, the voting men would say, should women have the right to vote? Well, hell no. Maureen belongs in the kitchen. All right, we do have a caller. Please, hold on, please, and let's hear. Caller, you're on the air. Your first name and where you're calling from. Hello? Hello? Uh-oh. Did we lose you? Hello? Caller? Mm-mm. I think we're hooked up properly. Hello, caller, you're on the air. I cannot hear you. Well, caller, I'm sorry. I'm going to hang up, caller, and if I'm hanging up on you, I apologize. For some reason, you're not coming through. Caller, are you there? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. All right, try again, see what happens, okay? Thank you. Well, that was a caller from 919 area code. I would love to have taken that call. I have no idea who that was. Geez, I'm awfully sorry if I hung up on 919. I apologize. You just were not coming through. All right. Now, it's democracy. Well, in that case, in the democracy, what would happen? Women would never be given the right to vote. Why? Because all the voters were men, and that's it. You know, sorry. Look at slavery. You know, most of the people, 75%, 80% of the people, or 85% of people were white. You know, do you want to do away with slavery? No, of course not. You want to give the African Americans the right to vote? Of course not. Now, it may not have been overwhelming, but maybe 51% of the people would have said no. That means African Americans can't vote. Of course, they're only a third of a person, or whatever, however they categorize them at the time, an insane way of doing it. So I'm saying that democracy is not what you want, and you don't want to steal democracy. You can imagine being in the hills of Afghanistan, being brought up and living in a... in a tribal community, you know, where there's an allegiance to a particular head. I mean, there's no democracy there. Everyone knows their place. I mean, it's really survival. They don't sit around talking about democratic processes. They're talking about survival itself, and they need someone who is an elder, who understands, who's been through it all, that they can look to for guidance. You know, but things work out very well. You wouldn't want a democracy there. It may work if they have a democracy. If that's the way they were brought up, or that's the way their whole system operates, it would be fine. But it's not democracy is not the point. And democracy is not what you want, not even in America. Let me give you an example. We only have a couple of more minutes. Let's assume for a second we had the divine right of kings here in America. The person that was the head of America was a king, and he was king because he claims that God came down and proclaimed him king, and now he's a divine king, all right? Now, of course, we don't want that. However, you know, this guy, since he's king, he's got lots of girlfriends, tons and tons of girlfriends, you know, and he's really busy with his girlfriends, his harem. He's having a great time. He says, you know, guys, I'm too busy, you know, running the government, so to speak, all right? He says, but you do your own. I'll tell you what to do. Here's a constitution. Take the constitution. You're free to do whatever you want, provided you do not infringe upon the equal right of the rights of others. If you do, you're going to go to court, get sued, the whole bit. We have a court system, and we have an army to protect us in case anyone tries to attack. Take care. Bye-bye. See you in about 3 years. I'll give another speech. Wouldn't that be fine? Not a democracy, but it would work absolutely beautiful, and that's what we want. Folks, it's not democracy. It's freedom. The question... The answer is freedom. Now, what the heck's the question? The answer is liberty. What the heck's the question? The answer is inalienable rights. What the heck's the question? All right, understand that. Okay, here we go again. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, you're on the air. Oh, boy, we're having a problem with our phone lines. I'm awfully sorry, caller. We're going off the air now. I apologize. Please send me email, comments@libertytalkradio.com. I'll call you next time, okay? Please do. Thank you. Oh, I hate when that...